We're so grateful for this presence. Jesus, we're so grateful. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for our fathers through whom we have this access into your presence, Lord. And so we come to pray, Father, Lord, as we go into your word, Lord, this afternoon, let your presence increase in the air. Let it increase and let it do an eternal work in our midst. I submit myself afresh under the covering of my fathers in order under the Lordship of Jesus. And I ask you for fresh mercy, fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and upon my lips. So I will speak as an oracle of God, that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. Lord, bringing life, bringing, Lord, refreshing, bringing healing, bringing strength, bringing the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Lord, bringing, Lord, an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, so that our wills will be more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruits of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that as your word goes forth on the covering of my fathers, let power, let it back these words everywhere it goes throughout the earth, to break yokes, to set the captives free, to give strength to our feet and our ankle bones, to see the Lord, what is written concerning us in the book, so that, Father, we will arise, Lord, as a mighty, exceeding great army, and go forth conquering and to conquer, standing in our place in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, and I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord, to be concise and precise. I duck under the covering of my fathers. Help me to speak as they would have, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things both new and old as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. And all the glory will go to the name of Jesus, and the blessings will come to us, the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for playing that gently. The Lord has gone ahead and His presence in the place. And I bring a word this afternoon entitled, it's a short word, Obscurity, From Obscurity to Glory. From Obscurity to Glory. And really what God is trying to say to us today is that we are hidden for a while. But what we do in this place where we are hidden is critical. And it's important to use this time that you are hidden, to use it to allow the truth of God to march on in your heart until it takes over your whole will, takes over your whole mind, takes over your whole emotion, so that you become the truth, takes over your body. That the truth will march on relentlessly. Nothing will hinder it. Nothing will slow it down. Because there is so much hanging on the will of God being done in our lives. I'm going to read three scriptures in quick succession. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5. I'm not going to wait for you today because of time. I've made up my mind. I'm going to move on. Oh yes. Because God will have mercy. Amen. Waiting for you has not helped me. All right. Right. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Two things he's going to do. He will bring to light hidden things of darkness around the heart. Two, he will make manifest the counsel of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Next scripture. Romans chapter 2 verse 14. I've said I won't wait for you. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, not having the law, are a law unto themselves,
which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God is judging the secrets of men. The hidden things that are in the heart, he's judging it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Amplified. Thank you. Be quick. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13. Now, let's read together. Now, this side of the house, I'm not hearing your voice. Now, if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, next verse, the work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done. God is saying that he is coming. We know that there are three comings. There is a coming in us, 1 John 2:5, okay, where we're being perfected, perfection in the fullness of Christ. There is his coming for us, and there is his coming with us. Okay, he's coming for a glorious church, Ephesians, and then he's coming with us. The Bible says the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. So we see that there are three comings. And the coming that is imminent now is the coming in us. So what God is saying now is that there is a work of the law being written in our hearts. Even the Gentiles are doing it. Even some Gentiles are doing this work. Because of the mercy of God coming from outside, because of the sincerity of their hearts. How much more we, the children of God. So he's saying that we need to work to ensure that the law is written in our hearts. And that place is written in our hearts is a secret place, is a hidden place. But in the day that God comes, it is going to be made manifest. It's going to be made clear. Because the fire of intercession, one, and the fire of affliction will try the work. And the character and the worth of the work will be evident. So if your work doesn't have any character, you will lose the work, but you yourself will be saved. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That's why God is telling us ahead of time to tell you. I mean, my fathers have preached it to us, but it's really imminent now. You know, and this is primarily what God is doing. So God is primarily, this coming in us is a reflection of the work. What work? The work of removing the sin nature totally from your soul and your body, and replacing it with eternal life. That is the work. To remove the sin nature and replace it with the godly nature. So that like Jesus manifested forth his glory, we also will be able to manifest forth his glory when the appointed time comes in Jesus' name. That time actually depends on us. There's no set time. So we can hasten it or we can delay it. So God is saying, hasten the time. By making sure that you get the work done and fully complete. That's what we saw that, I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's just look at Hebrews 4:15. Quickly. Hebrews 4:15. Let's read it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was where? In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tested for 40 days. And then he was released. Stamped. This is the prototype. We also now are being tested. The spirit of without measure has been released upon the fathers. Or no, and we all together, I and the children, we are working together to bring about the work of love. The length and the breadth and the depth and the height of work of love. Being done in our hearts. So the law of love is written upon our hearts. Like it says in Hebrews 10, Hebrews chapter 8 in verse 10. That law was written, and that is when the glory will manifest. God has ordained all of us to this. Every single child, nobody is left out. But now each person has to make, he has to make his calling and election sure, particularly the election. You have to make your election sure that God did not make a mistake. God will not make a mistake concerning us in Jesus' name. But you need to make it sure. It's left. But God is saying the ball is in your court. Look at Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, verse 21. Obadiah 1:21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. God has ordained you and I to be saviors. You are a savior in Jesus' name. A savior to this generation. Saving what? Saving creation. Look at Romans 8:19. That's what you are saving. You are saving creation. The whole creation was under man's control. And God is restoring back to the original order, where the whole of creation will respond to the voice of man. Reset. Amen. To respond to the voice of man. That's the original prototype. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we're going to tap into the power of the ages to come, the spirit without measure, and use it to establish God's kingdom. The kingdom shall be the Lord's on the face of this earth as the waters cover the sea, in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So do not neglect yourself. Don't remove your name from where God has put it. God has put it in Obadiah 1:21. I see your name there, in Jesus' name. It's in Obadiah 1:21. But now you have to make sure that it's written, not in pencil, you write it properly in Biro and overwrite, so that it's very clear that this is my name. Permanent. Amen. Look at it. And you know, the way we do that is by, look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's by Hebrews chapter 2, really. Verse 1 and 2. Amplified. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. Quickly. Thank you. Since all this is true, what is all true? The truth about Jesus being a high priest, having a more excellent name than angels, about men being higher than angels. Since all this is true, we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard. I'm talking about the truth marching on. That battle, that hymn we sang this morning is the battle hymn of the Republic. You know, the Republic of Zion has a hymn. We have an anthem. That's our anthem when we are going to battle. His truth is marching on. Now, he's saying that we ought to give the more honest attention to these things that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Verse 2. For if the message given through angels, the law spoken by them to Moses, was authentic and proved sure, it's talking about the Old Testament, and every violation and disobedience received an appropriate, just, an adequate penalty. Next verse. How shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect one? So neglect is not, I'm not doing it, but I didn't do it completely, or I didn't do it the way it was supposed to be done. If we neglect or and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, let it drift past us forever. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak. Passed down through the generations, Apostle Paul, passed down by revelation through our fathers to you and I. So God has delivered it to you and I. Through angels in his presence, spiritual fathers who have declared that this is the counsel of God concerning you and I. Now saying that, make sure you don't neglect it. Make sure that you don't refuse. That is one in every man, so that we can present every man perfect, because that is what you are supposed to be in Christ. Amen. All right, and look at 1 John 2:28, Message Bible. 1 John 2:28. When he comes, we will not be ashamed that he's coming, in Jesus' name. And now, children, let's read. How many children of God are here? And now, children, stay with Christ. Live what? Deeply in Christ. This message is about depth. It's about your depth in Christ. How deep has Christ penetrated into your heart, into your soul, into your mind? This is all the issue. Because time is not going to make it go better. If you're not doing some quality thing, it's the effort you're putting in now that time will help. You know, but if you are not putting in the effort, or effort is not concerted, or it's not diligent effort, then time is not going to help. It's going to be counting against us. So he says, no, live deeply where? In Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears. Ready to receive him with open arms. With no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. We will not have red-faced guilt in Jesus' name. We will not have any excuses in Jesus' name. He says any excuse is lame. It's lame. It's not going to be accepted. All right? God's going to help us in Jesus' name. Amen? So, our walk... now, when Pastor Dave touched on this morning, and I just shouted. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. Brethren, your walk cannot be hidden. He's talking about ministers in the morning, but I'm looking at it from a different perspective. Let's read together. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Sin can get ahead of you. That it is the first thing people see. It is so obvious. You know, you allow, because we don't deal with the sin nature and remove it from our soul and body, it is so prominent. It is so dominant. And then sometimes you can do something about it so that it is partially dealt with. It is not removed. This is the key. It's not removed. It is not ahead of you anymore. It's behind you. It's trailing. It looks hidden, but it's coming to manifest. It's coming to manifest. Next verse. Likewise, also the good works of some are what? Manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise. If it's not manifest, this is the otherwise. They that are otherwise cannot be hid. You cannot be hid in Jesus' name. You know why? Because when the glory comes, you'll be brought out into the light. By the grace of God. Amen. I said, when the glory comes out, you brought out into the light. Amen. So we're looking at the positive aspect of this scripture. It's talking about the fact that what you are doing, as you are doing it faithfully and diligently, you cannot be hid. You can't keep a good man down. It's a question of time. And then your time will come. Bible says judgment was given in our favor, was given to the saints, and the saints possess the kingdom. So really, what he's talking about, that we can get ourselves together, and we see a type of this. You know, when you look in the Bible, it encourages you. When David was bringing back the ark and made a mistake about the order in which he was brought back, because there was an order to bring the ark back. You know, God slew Uzziah, who was driving down, and he touched the ark to steady it with his hand, and God slew him. And everybody was afraid, including David. And then he put the ark in Obed-Edom's house. As they put it on Obed-Edom's house, everything Obed-Edom had prospered. He was hidden before. He was hidden before, but the ark of the glory of God brought Obed-Edom out into limelight. And it confirmed to all the that the ark was not bad, the ark was good. It changed people's perspective about the ark. It corrected, he stood as a witness for God. When the king missed it, Obed-Edom got it right. At his level. So it's not about being in the limelight or being in ministry. No, it's not about. It's about carrying the glory everywhere you're going. The glory we have right now. Amen. Joseph is another example. Okay. Another example I have is Eldad and Medad. Looking at the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11. Chapter 20, Numbers 11, 24 to 29. All right? Let's read it. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70. This is the story of the 70 elders. Moses said the burden was too much for him. And God said, okay, call 70 men. I'll put a portion of your spirit upon them. Moses, the Bible says, a prophet like Moses will I raise up unto you. So Moses is a type of Christ. Talk about Moses, Jesus, and the man-child. There are three. Moses, Messiah, man-child. There are three like that. Okay? So, you see Moses is a type of Christ. So, he's talking about putting a portion of his spirit upon the elders. Okay? And set them around the tabernacle. Next verse. Verse 25. And the Lord came down. How? in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they did what? They did what? And did not. Next verse. You cannot be hid in Jesus' name. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Next verse. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, ah, Eldad and Medad, they do prophesy in the camp. Next verse. And Joshua, son of Nun, son of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, ha, a war, forbid them. And listen to what Moses said. Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, that all the Lord put his spirit upon all of them. That is the heart of true prophetic apostolic fathers. It is for everybody to rise. It is for everybody to stand in their place. It's for everybody to fulfill their destiny. For everybody to carry the glory. Not for some select few. So I can trap the people and keep them coming back. It's to set you free for yourself. So you can carry the glory by yourself under covering, of course. Amen. So we see that this is what God is doing. All the people, your name is there. Say yourself, my name is there. And you didn't say it like you believe it. My name is there. So your name is there. Amen. Now, why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? It's important to understand that, no. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the what? Engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. This is what is able to save our soul. If you look at Ephesians 5:26, I'm not going to turn, I'm just going to read it because of time. You know, the Bible talks about of the washing of water by the word. There are two things Jesus is using to wash his church today. In readiness for the as it perfects her, you know, and removes the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You know, it is the water, which is the life of God, and it is the word. So it is the life and the truth of God's word is what really sets us apart and cleanses us from the nature of sin. And we must allow it to have its perfect work. The Bible says, you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. Just talking to his disciples, John 15, verse 3. And the Bible also says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, quickly. All scripture, I can't hear, all scripture, thank you, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Four things, balance. Doctrine, foundation, reproof, correction, and then instruction in righteousness. Next verse. That the man of God may be what? That is the removal of the sin nature. Perfect. That means of perfection. It is the nature of sin removed from the soul and the body. Then maturity is now being able to grow in discernment and wisdom in maintaining that perfection. So you dominate the sin nature, you cleanse it out, and then you keep it out. And then manifest. So you have dominion perfection, you have cleansing perfection, you have manifesting perfection. So the fathers are walking in manifesting perfection, you are walking in cleansing perfection. That's what God wants for us to do. So the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto. That same word is multifaceted. It is the one that is cleaning. It is the one that is filling. It is the one that is directing. It is the one that is equipping. It's an equipment to accomplish the work. It is directing. It, at the same time, it is the one, as I was saying, it's like a graft. You know, when you talk about, when you say engrafted, when someone is engrafted, you know, medically speaking, when you want to do plastic surgery for a person, maybe they've lost an area of skin, you know, that is, and that skin is gone, and you want to cover it with someone else's skin, you call that person, someone else's skin, a graft. So you want to do a skin grafting operation. You want to graft somebody else's skin into another person's skin to cover the area that has been exposed so that that area will not be prone to infection. Is that clear? That's not hard to be. It's not hard to understand, is it? All right. So now the person who is giving you that skin is called a donor. The person who is receiving the skin is called the recipient. The skin itself, okay, is called the tissue, and the process by which it is put on that person is called a skin graft. Now, if you put the graft, take from the donor, give to the recipient, and sew it in and leave it there, and the skin and the body of the person who received it accepts it, we say that the graft is successful. If the skin of the body of the person that receives that graft sees that skin as foreign, because it is, then it rejects that skin. We say that that graft did not take. It did not accept the graft. It rejected graft, and they have to start again. Does that make sense? Now, Jesus, the Word, is the tissue God wants to use to graft in our heart. Engrafted Word. But you see, now that your heart can either take or reject. Depending on the state of your heart. Now, this is where the life of God comes in to make your heart more malleable and more willing to accept the truth of the Word of God. So that by the Word and by the life, the Word is now grafted into your heart, so that you now become the Word over time. So it grafts into your will. And that graft, you know, is an incorruptible seed. It contains all of the divine nature. So it has the power to change your will to become His will. It has the power to change your thoughts to become His thoughts. It has the power to change your emotions. So change your body, change your feeling, change your emotions. It can change everything, change your desire, change your appetites. It has the intrinsic ability, the Word of God. But you must make sure it takes. And that's why the revelation of the life of God is so important. And the life of God is a substance that is inside God that makes God God. And that you receive it by faith in measures, by exercising faith in exceeding great and precious promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So that by receiving promises by faith, by receiving them in faith, by saying it, you know, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I have life more abundantly in Jesus' name. You receive that life and you now use it. The Word of God will take. It will become grafted in. And you change. But when you don't do it like that, and you try and put the Word without anything on inside, it's not going to take. Let me put it this way. It doesn't take as it should. Then you have this rejection. It doesn't work. Because it's by the washing of water by the Word. We see, that's why the meekness is the life of God coming in, makes your will more submitted. So that your will can now accept the Word, and the Word can take in your heart, and that's how we change. That's how God washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion. That's how He's doing it. Next reason, all right? No, the other thing is that the truth of God's Word is what resets our motives, our methods, and our means. Amen? It's the one that does that resetting. It's the one that changes the details of what is in your will. The things, the hidden things that are deep in the heart that God is seeing every day that man cannot see. That is that same Word, no, like this process I've just described. No, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And this is very important. This process is important, and the effect or the impact of it is also very important. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. 4, 4, 4, 4, 1 and 2. There's this. Let's read together. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, what ministry is he talking about? You go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Don't go there. Just stay here. I describe good. He's talking about the ministration of death. You know, that was in the Old Testament, bringing forth so much glory. And he's comparing to the ministration of glory. Then it's compared to the ministration of condemnation and the ministration of righteousness. So what's the ministry talking about? He's talking about the ministration of righteousness and glory. There is a ministration that God is expecting to happen in us of our righteousness becoming, of his own righteousness becoming our righteousness, of his own glory becoming our glory. And it now says that therefore, no, seeing that we have received this ministry as we have received mercy. You didn't receive it because you are better than other people. You didn't receive it because of anything special that you have in yourself. You received it because of the mercy of God. So you are dependent on God. He now says, therefore, seeing we faint not. So brethren, God is saying, don't faint. Why are you looking at yourself? It's not you. It's God. You have to keep looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. You have to keep depending on him. Yes, you operate principles, but the way you operate them is by faith in him who is at your right hand to help you to do it. This is how it works, okay? And that now says that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. They're hidden from men, but they're open to God. And if you don't do anything about it, it's going to be made manifest. Good or bad. So that's why if you make something good there, guess what? When it comes, it will be glory. In Jesus' name. That's what he wants. He wants to actually come and find glory. Amen. And bring forth glory. And bring forth fruit. And bring forth righteousness. Amen. He doesn't want to bring out hidden things that we have kept there. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Obed-Edom didn't know when they were coming. Elder and Medad didn't know when they were coming. They were just the way they were living their lives. But they were ready. So if you just do what you have been asked to do consistently, you will be ready. That's what he's saying. And do it diligently. That's what God is saying. Amen. So he says, renouncing hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what God showed me something here. And it is this, that as you work on the inside, give it to me in the Amplified. As you work on your heart and on your life, on yourself, on the inside, God himself, when he sees your purity, will now, when you say something or you do something, the sincerity of your heart, no, God will stamp it with his own voice. Or put it this way, it says, commend to us ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So when you are saying something, God will say it with you. So men respond to God because they are all made by God. So when God is speaking what you are speaking, or God is backing you, there is something that resonates in every man's conscience that this is God. It's because God is adding his voice to your voice. He's adding his voice to your action. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens when you have cleansed out. Give me verse 2. Okay, yeah. Okay, give me verse 1. Sorry. Yes. Therefore, since we do hold and engage this ministry by the mercy of God, granting us favor, benefits, opportunities, and especially salvation, we do not get discouraged, spiritless, and despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion. This is important. Not to be faint. Not to be fearful. Not to give up. Lift up those hands. We have almost cut the tape. We are at the edge. God is saying that, look, don't give up. Keep pressing in. No, don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Just stay with me. Stay with me. That's what it is. Next verse. We have renounced disgraceful ways, secret thoughts, feelings, desires, underhandedness, the methods and the arts that men hide through shame. No, all those things, the motive, your means, your method. You know, we refuse to deal craftily, practice trickery and cunning to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God, but state the truth openly, clearly and candidly, and so we commend ourselves in the sight and presence of God to every man's conscience. But like I explained to you, God himself is the one that is saying it. It's very important that we do not seek man's approval. John 2:29, the Bible says Jesus knew what was in man, and he not need anybody to John 2:29, he not need anybody to tell him what was in man. You need to, you know, don't depend on what people say. People are fickle. Today, Hosanna. Tomorrow, crucify him. So if you are waiting for people's approval, you're going to be disappointed. And above all, you're not going to be pleasing God. As what God is saying. And this is how Jesus did it. God wants us to cease seeking the praise of men and start seeking the honor of God. And we see an example in Jesus in John 8:12. Jesus was telling them, said, I'm the light of the world. John 8:12. And they said, he that doesn't walk after me if he that follows me, will walk in the light of life. But he that does not follow me will walk in darkness. And say, you are bearing witness of yourself. This is the key. You see, because in everything, you want to make sure that your spirit and God's spirit are saying the same thing. That God can vouch that what you said is the correct thing. And you're not waiting for men to come and give you approval that was God, that was not God. It's very important. So, instead of, next verse. Thou bearest record of us. That record is not true. Because of what the scripture says, that it has to be two independent people. All right? So, next verse. No, jump to verse 15. And then see what Jesus said. He says, you judge after the flesh. Men always judge after the flesh. They don't judge after the spirit, except they are spiritual men or those in authority over us, okay? I judge no man. Next verse. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. What's he saying there? He says, my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. John 5:30. So I'm not seeking to do my own will. So when your will is inclined, like David, to do the will of God, God will back it. He will back that will with his own approval. He will back it with his own voice. He will back it with a manifestation. And then it would enter into men's consciousness that truly what you are saying is Christ. It's God witnessing to men that truly I am in this thing. Sincere amen, that is. All right. Okay, so go back to verse 17, John 5. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men are true. Next verse. I am one that bears witness of myself. I am one that bears witness of myself. And the Father that sent me bears witness with me. God can bear witness with you. Now what you're doing is correct. Even if the whole office thinks you did the wrong thing. Even if all your friends think you did the wrong thing. Because it's so important that we don't get swayed by public opinion. By what the crowd is saying. Amen. And then finally, why it's important is God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He rewards those that follow his will. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11:6. Thank you. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's he saying? He's saying that if you are coming to God, you must be looking to God. You are seeking God. Okay? So, and that's what the Bible calls his will. So we naturally, our motives, our method, you know, the power by which we do everything we do, you know, the method by which you do it. You know, when you talk about method, really what you're bringing out there is this, that when you are doing something,
Are you doing it by the word of God? Do you only do it by the word of God when it's convenient for you? Or do you do it by the word of God all the time? Saul is a type of Christian or leader that does things according to the word of God only when it's convenient. When it's not convenient, he doesn't do it the word of God way. Like when he was waiting for Samuel, you know, when they were going to battle, and it was even Samuel for Samuel to come and give the offering. And when Samuel did not come, Saul went and he took it upon himself to make the offering by himself. That's not according to the word of God. And that's that type of leadership. So when you talk about, these are the things that God is looking at, the power by which you do what you're doing. Do you pray about things? Do you let God do things? Or do you manipulate it yourself? This is the issue. This is the issue. And you can manipulate it without anybody knowing. It's not about whether people know or not. It's about what God is saying. This is what God is doing. So after your will is becoming more aligned to His will, your motive, that's when you're really walking in faith. Then you now need to add diligence. That's what Hebrews 11:6 is saying. He's a rewarder of not those that seek Him, he's of those that diligently seek Him. And diligence here, really, what I want to bring out here today, diligence here, is diligence in humility. You know, we have a free will. How many people believe know that we have a free will? Right. Now, this free will that we have, it is when you submit your will to God's will, when you don't have to. That is when you have gone the extra mile. That is what Jesus came and told us to do when he was introducing the New Testament, you know, and that transition period. It was telling us that, you know, if someone says, love your enemies, hate them that treat you despitefully. All right, so he's talking about of your own free will, go the extra mile. It's a commandment, but I now choose to go the extra mile. So I stop being a servant who is unprofitable. I now become a son who is profitable. Because, you know, if you do only what you have been asked to do, the scripture says, say, I am an unprofitable servant. I have only done what I have been commanded to do. So the way to increase your faith is by going beyond what you have been asked to do. Not that somebody told me, I saw that this thing needs to be done and I decided to do it. This is the issue. So when you're doing so, is serving God with your free will. When you know you're of your own free will, going the extra mile of your own free will. This is what that diligence that God is talking about. It is that drives out that nature of sin quickly out of your flesh and out of your soul. When I say flesh now, I mean soul and body, and then keeps you pure so that you can do. So it's sons that are profitable. Servants are unprofitable because they still carry the sin nature. So if all you are doing is you're only doing what you have been asked to do, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to start. You know, and you keep working in it. But gradually God will begin to show you things, and you do things because it's the right thing to do. You know, whether anybody knows about it or not, just do it because that's what God is expecting. And many times it's hidden. It's in the closet. Are you listening to me, brethren? It's in the closet, but that is where your destiny is being made. Amen. All right, fine. All right, so we then move on. How then do we do this? As we begin to round up. James chapter 4, I'll start from verse 6. How? So we allow the word of God to work in us, shape our wills, shape our minds, bring us to the will of God, and do it diligently. And then how in detail? Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. There is more grace. Tell anybody there is more grace available. How do you get more grace? By obedience to instruction. So the instruction God has given us now is frequent and fervent, watchful praying in the Spirit. At least once every 6 hours. Having done that, that's 2 Samuel 6:13. We see that was the type that David used to bring the ark of glory back to Jerusalem. So it's at least 4 times a day. Now you can go the extra mile
to do at every opportunity and to do it in every temptation. This is what he's saying. It is then that you begin to drive out. You're now driving out the sin nature with life, because you confess your sins, because that fountain is very important. The fountain in, that we're talking about in Zechariah, what does it talk about? Talk about the fountain, you know, into the house of David. You know, the fountain opened up. That fountain is a fountain of both the blood of Jesus Christ and the life of God. It's a dual fountain. Bible says that in the book of Hebrews, it says that therefore by new and living way, you know, so that way gives you life. By new and living way, we come, you know, by the blood of Jesus. No, it's somewhere in the book of Hebrews. All right, by new and living way, if you get that. Yes, Hebrews, what's this? Hebrews what? 10:20. All right. So by a new and living way, which he has considered for through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Next verse. Having a high priest over the house of God. So he's talking about the new way Jesus made through his blood, which gives us access to life of God and gives us access now to come to God's presence, right, without shame and without condemnation and guilt. All right, so that's very important, you know, because when you confess your sins or you ask for mercy, it's the same thing. Sin is confessed. No, ask God to have mercy on me. In Jesus' name, I have that. You pray in tongues. That action with meditation on the word, the meditation on the word and the prayer, you are releasing power in prayer with the meditation of the word. At the same time, you drive out. That's the very, for example, sexual immorality. A thought comes, look at that boy, look at that boy. Look at that girl. Or look at that movie, or look at this, or look at whatever. You know, we all know how the devil tempts us now. Don't need to make a movie over that. Everybody knows. All right, you know, and Jesus, name, I have life. No, I love righteousness and I hate sin. And you pray in tongues. And you pray. Very briefly, pray and done. You've dealt with him. That's it. It's done. It's done. It's gone. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. You pray in spirit. And you keep doing that. And you know, the key now is our mind should not be blank. There is meditation, confession, prayer at the same time. Frequently during the day. At every opportunity, in every temptation. That's how we do it. Okay? Verse 7. We'll go back to James now. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's talking about our blood. And our bodies washed with pure water. It's talking about the life. Amen. All right. So you see that this is that's how it's the same thing. It's drawing near with a true heart. When the blood has cleansed and the life has come in and the word of God is there, you draw near with a true heart. Because it has an impact on the heart. Amen. So we draw near to God. And also, this is important because it says draw near with a true heart. Draw near to the apostolic and prophetic word. Come with a keen heart, you know, to the word of God. Don't hear the word of God and cast it aside. Listen intently. Concentrate and listen carefully to what you're listening to, because the thing is supplying things you're going to need few days, 1 week down the line. You're going to need those words. There are one or two or three scriptures right there you're going to need to have gone over and embed in your heart. So when those things come up, immediately the word just comes out. And you use it for that situation and you don't sin. Rather than sin and go back to God and confess our sins, we're wasting time. So we must stay keen. And that means, of course, that you must recognize spiritual fathers. We've dealt with that in previous lessons. You know, talking about the fruit of good treasure, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You know, the fruit of gentleness. You know, you see the fruit. No, but the key there is the fruit of good treasure, because it's the humility that they have that allows them to have access to deep revelation knowledge that comes from God. Amen. So that's important. So more submission brings more grace. And this is how, this, as you submit, you know, there's more grace. You can resist the devil. Because this is really how to walk. Because you have to, you know, you can't resist ungodliness with just by saying, I resist you in Jesus' name. It's a force. is a force. So the more submitted you are, and this is where submission is not just to oversight or our fathers, it's submission to different levels. You submit to your pastors, you submit to other brethren, you submit at different levels. And all the submission must be complete. You submit to God, you submit to fathers, you submit to brethren, you submit. There's all four levels. You submit and submit to your pastors and oversight. You know, so at that level, those four is the God's man for balance. You now get a sufficient flow, supply of nourishment that allows us to grow. This is foundational, but it's important. All right. Verse 8. James chapter 4. Yes. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And that's how you draw nigh to God. You draw nigh to God in your heart. Then you draw nigh to fathers. Then you draw nigh to the word. You know, to the word of that. Really, that's how you draw nigh to fathers. You draw nigh through the word that they have spoken. Amen. Then you submit yourself to other brethren as well. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's the word that does that. It's the word that does that. It removes the double-mindedness. Occasionally you get it, occasionally you don't get it. Then you keep working on it. Amen. We have to keep working on it and keep working on it. And then it cleanses more. It cleanses more. Amen. Verse 8. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is of your own free will. What we're talking about is of your own, is our own free will. We embrace agape love from within. And that's the holiness. So we're more open. We're more prompt to do the will of God. And we make sure we do all of the law. No, we put on the whole armor. We don't put on parts of the armor. We put on the whole armor of God. So you're obeying all the instructions. You're not selecting and obeying the ones. You start with some, then you grow into the others. Amen. And you make sure that you're growing to them. Make sure you're doing them, you're practicing, because that's what it's talking about. It says, be afflicted. It just means take more upon yourself. Take more. Do more. That's what he's saying. No, don't be insincere. No, let your laughter, the things you derive joy from, let it change from carnal things to spiritual things. It's free. This one is free will. It's not that somebody told me to do it. It's like, Lord, I want it. Lord, I thirst for, I yearn for this. All right, okay. Then verse 9. Discipline yourselves. Let's all right, get serious. All right, so you get that point. All right. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. Amen. So as you keep humbling yourself in your attitude and your actions to the degree God specifies, not only what you find convenient, but what is convenient and what is not convenient, God now lifts us up. And that is where we go from obscurity into glory. All right, and we have an excellent example in David as we close. David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 13 as we begin to close. Right. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed who? Saul to the battle. All right. And let me mention the names of the three sons. You cannot follow Saul to battle. You are going to lose the battle. Why is it? Because Saul is doing things that are convenient for him. So he doesn't have the whole armor of God. So when he faces real, real challenges, he's going to have fear, he's going to have unbelief. And that's what these boys should have had, they were older than David, they should have been the ones that were talking to Goliath, if at all. They should be talking to God, but they didn't have it because they followed Saul. So don't follow Saul. Amen. God is saying, don't follow Saul. You don't have to be going to a Saul church. It's Saul's way of doing things. Saul does things in the way of convenience is the key. If it's convenient for me, I will do it. If it's not convenient, I won't do it. That's Saul. Learn to obey God when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. All right. Amen. Sorry, sir. Especially when it's not convenient. Alright, to do all the will of God. Alright, that's Acts 13:22. Alright, verse 15. So you cannot manifest the glory by following Saul. It's not going to work. But David went and did what? Returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David didn't follow Saul. He went back to feed his father's sheep. He was submitted to authority and obeying authority. And that's, so you need to stay where God puts you. That's where God put David. Far with the sheep. You know how far that is to the battle? It's so far. But not with God. With God, everything that is hidden is going to come out into the light. Amen. But where he was faithful. Verse 17. Verse 17. And Jesse said to David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. So he says, run to the camp. So it is in obeying authority that you will be set on the path of your glory. You won't know that that's part of your glory. You'll just be obeying as you normally obey. And you'll be on the path to your glory. But you won't know. That's why obedience is so important. You need to make sure you're walking on obedience. That's why you're praying. That's why you make sure you're obeying. You are thinking. You are saying. I think, speak, feel, act like God. In every circumstance, in all situations. That's what you're trying to do in all situations. Amen. All right. Verse 20. Verse 20. And David did what? Rose up when? Early in the morning. All right. And left the sheep with a keeper and took and went and as Jesse had what? Commanded him. Amen. So what do we see here? We see that he left the sheep with a keeper as he had been given instruction. What does this signify? It's talking about, Bible says, no, 2 Timothy chapter 1:40 says, those things that were committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the keeper. So he's talking about keeping the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He didn't leave the sheep comfortless. Even though God is not a God of substitution, even though God said he should do this, he was still doing the spiritual work of prayer, of confession of the word, of watching, like we talked about, meditation, of obedience. He was still keeping all that. So habitual operation of the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, early in the morning, as the good morning Jesus prayers comes in, early in the morning, and that gave him progressive revelation. We have the revelation of the lion, the revelation of the bear, the lion and the bear experience, the revelation of the Goliath experience. So he gave him four things. Progressive revelation. With revelation came boldness. With the boldness came indomitable faith. And with that faith came experience. So you see that one led to the other. Revelation is continuous and progressive. You don't have it once and then you don't have it again. You have it continuously. Now, there was a revelation that he used to overcome the lion. The lion is the power of the devil in the air. It's the power of the devil in the air. But no, you overcome, you break the power of the Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So, it says that he goes about as a lion seeking whom to devour. So, David overcame the lion there in the wilderness where he was. Overcame Satan in the air, and the Bible says that when the lion came, he took him by the beard and smote him and delivered the sheep out of his mouth. It's talking about prayer, using prayer to grow God's people up so that they are not subject to the sheep, they're not tossed to and fro, they're under covering, knowing the state of your flock, like we heard this morning. All right, so they're under covering. All right, then the next one, of course, is then boldness. Because a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. All right, so you then begin to understand who you really are, and then you don't see yourself as just an ordinary shepherd boy. You know that you are a child and a friend of the Most High God, and you carry that presence around with you. Then comes the indomitable faith, because you are seeing what God is seeing. Particularly in this day, brethren, the mommy and pastor shared with us at the beginning of the year about the revelation of the day of the vengeance of our God. David had the revelation of the vengeance of God on Goliath. He saw that Goliath was naked spiritually. His power, he didn't have any power at all in the spirit. He was so vulnerable. So he told them, Saul put his armor on him. But David said, I have not proved it. So he took it off. You don't use what you have not proven. Bible says you prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He was going for perfect will, and Saul was giving him good will by giving him the wrong kind of armor. David had the whole armor of God on, out of relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The sincerity, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, all those items were on him spiritually. Wasn't a physical armor. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual, mighty through God. It's a power thing. So there's power working through your heart. So he was seeing correctly. He said, no, the servant will fight this Goliath and I will take off his head. And he ran towards Goliath. He didn't wait for Goliath. He took the battle to Goliath. He took battle to him and he took it, and then he destroyed him with that single stone, which is all the five stones, okay? But at least you can say the one stone of obedience. And Goliath was, then he took the sword and cut off his head. The same way you are David. And this is the dispensation of the vengeance of God. All of your enemies, I don't care what they are. No, their power has departed from them. You need to start saying it correctly and saying it to yourself. Their power has departed from them. They're not the way you are seeing them. They are naked. And you need to understand you have the upper hand. Judgment has been given in our favor. So this is the time to enforce the will of God. Enforce the dominion of God with boldness and with faith. And you run towards Goliath, and so you overcome him. The bear is a representation of the type of the power of the devil in the flesh. And the Goliath is a type of the power of the devil over creation. When you overcome the lion and the bear, you will have the experience and the favor and the power to be able to overcome and rule over God's creation. That's what David did. Alright? So don't use Saul's weapons. You know, don't depend on the Saul's weapons. Depend on the weapons of the armor of love. Put on the whole armor. So you will stand in that day, having done all to stand. Amen. Let us bow our heads and pray. Talk to God. Just tell him you're going to take it. Live deeply in Christ. Take it deeper. Free will. Go the extra step. Go the extra mile. That is revealed to you in every area. Act on it promptly. Stay in obedience. And that's how God is going to lead you. The good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is treading on the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He of the terrible sweet sword. His truth is marching on. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is my kingdom,
arise and shine.
Arise and shine, my people. See the glory of the Lord. As the church with signs and wonders marches on in one accord, soldiers do not falter. As for him, they wield the sword. His army marches.
One more time.
Arise and shine. Arise and shine, my people. See the glory of the Lord. As the church with signs and wonders marches on in one accord. Peace, so judges do not falter. As for him, they wield the sword. His army marches on. Glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Raise up our right hand in faith, left hand on our heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that we are in a battle in the spirit that is fought with spiritual weapons. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy and grace to enable me to be more faithful and diligent to put on the whole armor of God, to follow after David under the priesthood of Samuel, so that in this dispensation of our favor, we will enforce the vengeance of our God over Satan and his cohorts, wicked spirits, human enemies, and the vengeance of God upon the enemies of Zion, in Jesus' name, so that we will possess our possession, bringing the glory back to your church with great prosperity and fulfillment of divine destiny, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Japreke kobaka, zapreke donama, mapakata, zekalavabadi, rabakwamba katande, zeko swama, jeva satevea, yeworidama, reda badega, reda bakako, reda bakaka, zeke de beberia, rankako, kaka, zeke de beberia, barimata, ropa, pao, katao, sao, zename, rade, barua, rebaka, bekala, kekalavaba, sopo, topo, zekalava, zeka, tokale beberica, mapa. Papa, Yewomani, Bakoa, Bake, Koare, Rodo, Baro, Zari, Roba, Baka, Zanga de Bebaria, Ronde de Coco, Kaka, Bekan, Tomarika, Ronga de Bebele, Barukaka, Jekare, Baruka, Jekare Bebos, Bonga de Bebaria. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory, glory, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth, your word that has come to us so expressly today. We thank you, Lord God, for this living word that has come to, Lord, reset our minds, reset our wills and emotions to press on, Lord, to move on in
to obtain the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ with the manifestation of the Spirit without measure. We thank you for the covering of the fathers of the house. Thank you, Lord God, for the open heavens, Lord God, under which we operate, by which, Lord God, each one of us is now instructed to help us, Lord God, to forget the things that are past and to press on towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that is set before us so evidently by your word today. We are grateful. We return to you glory, worship and honor, Father, Lord Jesus, and Lord Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. We join hands as we close. And so, Father, again in order, under the covering of our fathers, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, we say, Lord, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We are above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, with anointings and mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name, amen. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. Look at them and say, arise and shine, for your light has come. God's glory has risen upon you now, in Jesus' name.